When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You were raised to believe the world was black and white. But what if it isn't? What if the rigid belief system you have never questioned is wrong? What if the world is actually a lot more gray? This show is for the seekers, the explorers, those brave enough to step outside of certainty and question everything. Join your hosts as they sit across from the world's leading thought leaders, visionaries, religious gurus, entrepreneurs, philosophers, and more to tackle difficult topics. You don't need all the answers to find meaning in life, but you should be free to ask all the questions. This is Figuring It Out.
In today's episode, we're talking about getting ghosted by the church, our last experience going to church, and what happens when the church gets too involved in politics. But first, what have you been reading, watching, or listening to this week, Eric?
So I was like on brand for Pride Month this month because I watched the new Dakota Johnson. Yeah.
That's all I can say.
I just watched the new Dakota Johnson movie, Am I Okay, on Max, and it's really good.
Really good,
it's
huh?
really good. The reason I mention it is because...
It's Am I Okay?
Am I... That's so stupid. That is the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Well, you laughed, so...
Anyway, no, it's called Am I Okay?
It's more like something you would have said.
But it's a... basically, the reason I brought it up for this... is like when I was watching, I was like, this kind of is in line with the show because she plays like this 32-year-old like that works in this massage therapy office and like she's a receptionist and she wants to paint, but she's put it to the side. And like she's basically in this like midlife crisis mode of like, who am I? Like, and am I okay is the whole point is like,
okay,
where am I in my life? What is this? And the ultimate thing is that she's frustrated because she can't find a guy that she really connects with. And she realizes, of course,
that's
that she's not interested in guys.
There you go.
But it's a really beautiful like movie. And it's really cool that she kind of like it's just a very realistic portrayal of like, I'm 32. It's too late for me to figure out who I am, what I want to do. And, you know, she does anyway. But yeah. It's really good.
It's really relatable for you, huh?
Yeah, I relate to Dakota Johnson. She's my spirit animal. No, I thought it was really cool. I was and the thing I liked about the movie too is like the relationship she has in the movie from the guy that she's dating in the beginning to like her friends. It's like the conversation are just really cool. Like they're very like, oh, it's not too late to figure it out. Like you're not, you know. It was a very non-cynical approach to the material, which I thought was good. So
nice.
Anyway, yeah.
You heard Jelly Roll's a new song?
What?
It's I'm
actually
not okay.
It's actually the intro to the movie is Jelly Roll.
Is that true?
No.
Oh, I was going to say. Well, that's just because he just like,
oh my God.
That's what it made me think of because he just came out with a song, I'm Not Okay. That's all over TikTok, which was actually really sad.
All over TikTok?
Yeah, that's like everybody posting that they're not
all
okay.
All over TikTok. Mm-hmm. See,
is this going to be your thing this episode? Because I can't keep up with the
what
that sounds like. That
oh, sorry,
jokes. Sounded very much
not the branches. Okay, I'll stop. Branches.
I thought you were saying it was Oliver's TikTok.
No, he's doing this thing where
sorry.
Everything that we say.
Oh, I see.
Like I said, am I okay? He said, am I okay? You said all over TikTok. You said Oliver TikTok. And I swear to God, if you do another one, I'm going to leave the episode.
Okay.
Oh, if it happens, it happens.
I'm raged
if
out.
If you leave, dude. You leave.
I am raged out. Okay.
Jackie.
Okay.
She just said the thing.
Oh,
no, she's. That's, no, that
so you're
wasn't
just
it.
Slipping in bonuses?
Oh, yeah. It's just a bonus.
And I watched Willy Wonka. Or we're just going to throw in everything
I mean,
that we've
I guess
done.
So. Why not?
Anyway, sorry.
Okay. We watched Dunes, which I thought.
Dune.
There's two.
Dunes.
There's two.
We watched both
okay.
Dunes.
We watched, yeah. Okay.
Now you're doing it.
Okay. Okay. But I thought that was, well, Travis was happy because I'm liking, what are the sci-fi movies you're all happy about? Well, and
I would
about?
Say that's sci-fi. Like, it was more, I was happy that she's watching more like fantasy type, like new world type things. Because then I was like, we can finally go back through The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and stuff, which she's
not the Hobbit
ever liked.
The Lord of the Rings is good.
I like The Hobbit. Yeah. You don't like The Hobbit?
Interesting. Anyways, I just thought that's it was silly. Very interesting, and I thought it was cool. It reminded me, I told him it reminded me of Mark Manson's book that we talked about on, I think, a different episode about creating your own religion. I thought that was like super interesting, just like kind of seeing how just like a whole world believing in a belief system, but like seeing the back end of like why they believed something was because it was all just like very strategic pieces of like people like sending out like rumors, but like to create a storyline. And just like, it was like the first time I saw it in like a like bigger picture, I guess. I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah. No spoilers.
If that made. Oh, sorry. What is that? I thought you were saying I spoiled. What's going on today?
I was going to further explain it. But Dune 2 did just recently come out. So.
Yes. But it was a really good movie. I liked it a lot. And I just thought it was kind of relevant and interesting.
Do you think Timothy?
It's wild that you have not seen either one of them.
Yeah, they're good.
I haven't been interested. Like, here's the thing. I've been really digging like the one I just mentioned. Like the indie kind of low key small movies I've been loving. And even the movies that are like bigger casts and stuff. Like I just watched Saltburn. Have you seen that?
Saltburn?
Yeah. Dude, no. That movie is so good. That's like might be my new Babylon.
Yeah, but you're it's kind of so deflecting. Good.
But I'm saying
why you
but
watched.
I'm saying it's
Eric,
these
I don't
weird,
know that I can't see your eyes. I don't know who you're
it's
looking
these
at right
weird,
now.
I'm looking over there.
Who you're talking to.
It's these weird little like indie or smaller movies that are super like tight woven stories versus like the big epics. I just haven't been feeling epic movies lately.
Hmm. Did you watch the documentary on Ashley Madison? I thought that was interesting.
I did not.
Really? That was interesting.
I did not either.
One of like the main like people in it is a huge like Christian vlogger.
I heard
of
it.
Didn't you say that there was a Duggar or something in there?
Josh.
Oh yeah, Josh Duggar.
That
was
like
on
the
there.
Second scandal.
Yeah.
There's Josh. Three scandals.
And then Biden's
with Josh.
Son that's was on two. There.
I mean, well, he's
that makes a lot of sense.
He's everywhere.
Yeah. Where is he not?
That's one thing politically we can't agree on. Hunter Biden. Anyway.
That guy seems like he has fun. You know what I mean?
I mean,
he's like a true
let's
role
be
model.
Specific.
He's like a true role model.
Let's be specific on the witch activities, because some are quite sketch.
Okay. Anyways, Travis, what have you been?
I feel like it's been a little while since we recorded. So I feel like there's a lot of things that I wanted to talk about. But this one was just, I thought was funny. So just to bring a little bit of light material into, are you going to take a Magic Mind? All right. Cheers. Jackie already took hers. Shout out to Magic Mind.
Let's not use the codes all over again.
Just go Travis
C20. Okay.
Something like that.
Something like that.
They haven't renewed my campaign. So honestly, not impressed. I'm just kidding. I actually love Magic Mind, and I would love to keep working with you.
See this?
I know you watch Figuring It Out.
So I there
God, it
this
is
article.
Really good though. I
it's,
do like
it's
Magic
really
Mind.
Not good. Sorry. It's really not bad. Yeah. This article was men are revealing the very specific things they do when their wife and kids leave the house, and I wasn't expecting these answers.
That's
first of all,
really
you
funny.
Guys have any guesses? Neither one of you read this, did you?
No, I read the headline.
Where was it? Is it on
I
here?
I sent it to our group chat.
I think you responded in the group chat too.
I did.
No, he did. Oh. Or she did.
He did. Interesting.
What do men do when their wives and their children
no
leave
guesses?
The house?
I mean, I just assumed it was like beating the meat.
Get naked? I don't know. Just like, no.
Okay. All right.
No? Take off your clothes.
Number one.
I love how you just said variations of get
naked,
take off your clothes, don't wear anything.
Away from the body.
Being in your birthday suit. You know, that's like going top five probably.
If I had to guess.
Now you know what Jackie does when you're in
the house. I know. Just, okay.
Number one, I take 5 decorative pillows off the bed and put them in the closet until the morning of her return.
That's funny.
I thought that was pretty hilarious.
That was funny. Do you do? I don't have any pillows on it, but I mean, only ones we use.
Yeah. I don't speak. I don't play music. I don't have the TV on. I sit in complete silence reading my phone or whatever, but not having to answer anybody's questions, not having to listen to anybody. I was just in complete silence for at least 15 minutes. One time, my wife took the kids out of town for the weekend with her sister, and from Friday night until I got home from work until Monday morning when I went back, I didn't speak one word. I just existed. Watched shows, played some games, drank some whiskey, smoked a cigar, cleaned, did laundry, didn't speak, and didn't have to answer anyone's questions. That's probably like that's the most relatable.
That's a sociopath, bro. If you relate.
No.
No human interaction for 4 days sounds like hell.
That does not sound
from
like
the guy that Travis have, makes
yeah,
friends.
No, yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Amazing.
That is what it sounds like. Number four, turn the AC down.
Oh, that makes sense. That's
a good one. Although you let me use AC to my discretion, which I appreciate.
68, baby.
I cook a package of bacon and save the drippings. I cook basically everything in that fat until it's gone. My wife and daughter are vegetarians.
Oh, wow. That's a tough hill.
That would be brutal.
I couldn't be married to a vegan.
No. Here's number eight. Recliner legs, support up, throw pillow behind the neck, room temp adjusted for prime napping conditions, phone ringer on silent, cat full of treats and situated in my lap, and then I grab some of that sweet, sweet sleep that has been stolen from me in various ways. Bonus if there's some type of sports on at a low volume for background noise. Everything's great about that one, minus the cat. Weird.
And the sports.
Yeah, there's some pretty good ones in here. Number 10, I don't know, but it's not going to involve pants.
See, there you go.
Nailed it, Jackie. Mm-hmm.
The last five are all. Get naked, birthday suit. Yeah. No pants.
It's like we know
no
who shirt. Those came from. Number 11, I'm ordering myself a $12 large any topping pizza from Pizza Hut with sausage and every vegetable they have. Weird flex on the vegetables. All seven. Okay. And I'm watching whatever the hell I want on television. I might not even finish watching it. I might switch to watching something else right in the middle. Might even start flipping back and forth.
That's
and
not
watch
you.
Both at the same time.
What a monster.
Also, I'm going to fart with impunity and probably shit naked with the bathroom door wide
dear.
Open. And you know what else? I'm going to stick my cheesy breadsticks right into the peanut butter because fuck it. I'm totally going to have way too much toast later anyway.
Here's the thing, though. If you can't do that with your partner... That's you have a good relationship?
That's a good question.
If you can't pound a pizza together,
that's fair.
Things are rough.
If you can't dip your breadsticks in peanut butter.
That's disgusting anyway. Don't do that.
Also, who wants all the vegetables on their pizza?
I don't like a lot of toppings. Okay, here's my hot take. I don't want a lot of toppings on a pizza.
That's not a hot take. I agree.
I want like
I'm
two
purist.
Amazing yeah. toppings.
I'm a purist.
Yeah, that's
like
purist.
Meat lovers even now. I'm
you know,
like, that's too much.
You know my theory is for why, you know, those like self-serve pizza places?
Yeah, like Blaze or Pilot.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like they blew up and now they're going downhill. And I think it's because the novelty wore off where people started realizing they're like, oh, actually, I don't want 38 toppings on my pizza.
Well, it's like frozen yogurt.
It's like I kept going and just getting pepperoni. And I was like, wait a second, I'm paying like $15 for a mini pepperoni pizza when I could just get a regular pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, that's like, fair. That is true.
It doesn't make any sense.
Their buffalo at Pyology is good, though. That buffalo chicken pizza.
Oh, they make good pizza.
Oh, you should go to that. The one we went to. What is that called? Baby in Town Square. That was delicious. That chicken,
oh,
buffalo
yeah,
chicken
yeah.
pizza. He'd like that a lot. Crust something?
Yeah. Crust and Row something. It's a pie place. So they make pizza pies and then dessert pies and pot pies.
Yeah.
So we got a like a beef pot
pie. Pot pie is interesting.
But we got their buffalo chicken pizza and it was
we
delicious.
Got a buffalo chicken pizza. Yeah. Their like beef or steak pot pie.
We got to go to Sotobello's, dude.
And then
we're
got
planning
a like apple
actually,
pie for dessert. That's pretty fire. We actually do want to go to Sotobello's. Sotobello's.
It is. All right.
Here's a good one. I ate 1.5 grams of mushrooms and watched Avatar while listening to a podcast doing a commentary on Avatar.
That's relatable.
So this one's pretty solid. It's happened once. That's just my favorite part of the whole thing. Because, like, poor guy. It's happened once. I got incredibly high, forgot to make myself dinner, and stayed up until 3 a.m. playing video games on a school night and crushed, like, 10 beers. So either that or panic and apologize. Oh, man. I thought those were good.
Those were good.
That's, like, what women, what women think men do versus, like, what men actually do.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
fair.
That's what men actually do.
Like, literally just nothing. Like,
yeah. I literally just watch so many fucking movies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But what I've realized, too, and for anyone that's seen Saltburn, they know how weird that movie is. I used to
Saltburn?
Always.
Saltburn?
You got to watch it. Okay. You would hate it, actually.
She would not like it.
Watch,
I like
am
how
I okay?
You hold your
watch
glasses
Saltburn.
Up.
Okay.
So you can see the eye contact. But Tara doesn't like basic horror movies, but then now, so I used to be like, okay, well the next level of super weird movies hide from her, but now she loves all the really weird movies, like the super, like where it's so weird and uncomfortable and odd. She loves those, like Saltburn. So now I'm like, oh, now I have to keep like the mid-range weird horror movies to myself and then let the extreme ones go.
You know what movie I rewatched this week that was, I thought was it just funny and entertaining?
Which one?
The alien one?
Well, no.
Oh, no, not the
they're
alien
vampires,
one.
They're vampires, Jackie.
Which one?
Day Shift on Netflix.
With Willem Dafoe?
No.
With Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, that actually looked good.
You didn't need to see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Dave Franco and Jamie Foxx. It's obviously a ridiculous movie. It's about Vampire Hunter, but it is like, it's entertaining, funny. There's like solid action in it. It's just, it's like more kind of more like action comedy.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good. I think it's worth a watch for sure. Yeah. It was funny.
I fell asleep.
She fell asleep immediately.
To be fair, though, I've already watched it. And I did. It was funny when I watched it.
You're tired from Dunes.
Yeah.
From multiple Dunes.
Yeah. Also, though, just because of our last episode, I'd like to clarify that I had to tell Travis to stop talking to me because I was actually paying attention and you kept trying to tell me things.
Wow.
So,
in Dune. That's
yeah.
Do you think Timothy Chalamet's cute?
Who?
The main guy in Dune with the long black hair. Because like
the main guy.
The main guy.
Oh.
Because girls like love him.
They're
and
like he's like the talk of the town.
I don't understand.
Not really.
Anyway. I think it's the newer generation that loves him.
Like Gen Z?
Gen Z. He's like the Gen Z.
You were Gen
what
Z
was the other
during
movie
the movie.
That you did that as well, though.
Z.
Oh, Rebel Moon. You did the same thing with Rebel Moon.
Oh, yeah. No,
you
no.
You were talking in Rebel Moon, and I said, I'm trying to watch it. Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just actually trying to pin into you. Like,
that's why I stopped watching.
It's very rare,
Travis. He talks at all.
It's very rare that she
like
actually
when we
cares
watch Jackass,
about the movie.
He's like, just talk. No, I was like, let's just watch. Mm-hmm. All right.
Rebel Moon was also great.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. It's an epic.
And that's a good one with a girl.
It's a good one with a girl.
As the main action,
usually
and she's like
movies,
badass.
Not
usually movies that,
one, that
feature girls.
Like, that's how they killed Star Wars, to be honest.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Star Wars.
I'm just saying, she's an actual badass. We talked about that in a couple
last
episodes.
Oh my god,
episode.
That's true.
She was
sorry,
badass.
This is such a detour. You're talking you're about right. Sofia Boutella, the main girl in
yes.
the movie?
Yes. Yeah.
She is so good. Have you seen Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron?
Yes.
Dude, she's great in that.
She's in that?
Yeah, she's the main girl in that.
Really?
She's the girl
Wait,
that she...
Charlize Theron the main girl?
Or the main girl that she like connects with.
Oh, it's been too long.
She hooks up with her in that movie.
I do remember that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Remember the sex scene?
Ding! Now that I'm thinking about it too, is she also the girl from...
The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
Well, it wasn't what I was thinking. Kingsman?
Yeah, I hate
with
those
the
movies.
Blade
I
feet.
Fucking hate Kingsman. Don't
really?
Get me started. Let's keep going.
Okay.
All right. Let's get in the main topic, everybody. Segway.
Everybody.
So we just talked about a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with the main episode. So now let's get into the main topic, brother.
All right.
Brother.
Have you seen that Hulk Hogan clip where he's talking about like, it's time to pray up?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
So what you gonna do when Hulk Hogan, the 700 Club, and our Lord and Savior run wild on you, brother?
Brother.
That's the only thing I know he says. It's his catchphrase.
Ghosted by the church.
Yeah. I thought this was a great topic, which is why I brought it to the table today.
Good for you. Thank you for doing that.
Just kidding. Jackie actually brought up this topic. And Jackie, where did you get the incredible quote we're about to read?
Yeah.
You know, the good old Pinterest.
That
good
is
old Pinterest.
The place
Pinterest
for recipes,
never fails you.
Philosophy, religion,
picture ideas.
I literally in college used to just like search quotes. On, like just quotes. It's like motivational quotes on Pinterest all the time.
I would love nice. To get Random access to like your archived Pinterest from that time period.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's leaving the church feels like being a ghost. You died. You have no way of communicating with the people who once meant everything to you, but you can see them. They aren't mourning you. They carry on like you are never there. They are unaffected, but you are alone.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that.
Well, that brought us down. So yeah. Anyway, so Dune.
I think it's an interesting perspective as well, because I feel like I've never thought, like I always think of a ghost from the person who the ghost is like haunting, but never what it would be like to actually be the ghost. I don't think I've
to
ever
be like,
thought about that.
I'm here.
Yeah. I've
you
never thought of it on that
for
side.
For the scarer sometimes, you know?
Well, I
don't know. I never understand.
That, but.
They never explain in like ghost haunting movies, like why are they slamming all the cabinets? And stacking the plates weird.
Yeah.
They never
talk.
Because like
that.
Sometimes I think about like if you picture the ghost in those scenes, it's like why do they turn the lights on like that?
Yeah.
They're like sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, so on the back of that quote, the question of the day is: when have you felt most ghosted by someone in the church?
So this was. Let's see. It was. Pretty close to when we were still like in church, but I had decided to like not be in ministry. And so I was like pursuing business full time, and I was trying to start this, alarm dealership, like back, so selling alarm systems, because that's what I'd been doing to make money up to that point. It was going pretty well. And so I was like, oh, I could go like back to Lancaster.
That's a tough industry to break into, the alarm industry.
Why are you allowed to make stupid jokes?
I knew you did something in that industry, but
you're gonna until say
you
one,
said it,
you?
It didn't ring a bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Or can I?
Nope.
Right. Nope. Okay.
You're going to interrupt me in like 2 minutes.
That would be alarming. Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm also just very irritated that you're just, that I'm not allowed to do that, but then you're just going to do it with impunity.
All right, guys.
Thanks for that.
Let's love one another. And go ahead. Tell us what you feel, Travis.
I love how it all the rage shifted to you. He turned like,
I know.
Woman.
Okay, so starting the alarm dealership, and I went back to Lancaster and wanted to like be involved in the job fair, because every year at the college that we went to, they have a job fair and they bring in all these employers from the area to recruit kids for different, you know, opportunities or whatever. And even like they basically just shunned me from being in the job fair. Like they wouldn't let me come in and set up a booth at the job fair to like recruit salespeople. And I was like, well, what, like, why not? What's going on? And they're like, well, it's 100% commission. We don't allow 100% commission, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, except for that, I know that you do, because yeah, my,
you did, like, it.
Because Keller Williams is there, which is a real estate company, and they're recruiting real estate agents, which is even worse because you have to go to like real estate school and get a license, and there's going to be like a 3 month lead time before you make any money. Like they're there recruiting real estate agents. The only reason that you don't want me here is because you don't want these students to like rub shoulders with me. And it got to the point where even where I just like started recruiting kids anyway, and I would just like reach out to people that I knew and set up like meetings on campus to like recruit people. And then one of the like leaders of the college got up in front of his, like one of the largest classes. It was a freshman class, and basically just said like, if you've been contacted by this company, basically don't work for them. Like from the pulpit, yeah, in his insane class with the, like, and it's one of the classes that every freshman has to take. So it was like 300 people in there.
Yeah.
And he like literally was like preventing anybody from
that?
Working with me. Several students that were like
just freshmen,
like, yeah, people that were in the class that were already working for me.
Oh,
Do
they have
like,
to
yeah,
quit?
So and so, no, they didn't make them quit. But they just cut my legs out from under me, and it was just the opposite of the reception that I was expecting. Is right. Like I grew up here, you know what I mean? Like I'm not just another college student. I didn't come here for a year and a half. Like I've been here longer than the majority of the staff that works here. Like you guys are going to treat me like this because what? I didn't go into ministry. Like you're going to actively prevent me from trying to do well here.
No.
And I can help your students make more money in less time than they would in a $8 an hour job, like packing boxes in the back of the Michael's warehouse or whatever.
No. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was definitely one of those times where I was like, you know what? Like,
yeah.
Thank you for like making this easier for me to just like abandon this, you know, like version of my existence, you know, like, and even at that time, like I was still going to church. It wasn't even like I am now where I have like a public platform and I talk about it. Like, it wasn't any of those things. It was just like, oh, you're doing something that we didn't want you to do. And we're going to actively now, like, even though I've known you for 15 years, like I'm going to,
you're not one of us anymore.
Yeah. Right. It was definitely,
I think it was
one
more annoying too
situations.
About the person who did it because of how focused he is on money as well, which I think was like more of a thing too. It's like, okay, like you're not, cause even those people who like you're sold out into ministry, even those people, I feel like I can at least like understand that perspective more to somebody who is just like only ministry, like leave the money. But like, you do very well for yourself on the side for a reason.
But then when I started doing well and stuff, then it's like, oh, they see you and they're like, oh, how's the business going? And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, you don't want to actually know anything. Like, you just like, no, we're not going to have this conversation. Like, until you address, like, that's the thing that drives me crazy about, especially people from that world, is like, they never address any of the things that happened. They just want to like pretend like everything's cool and nothing ever went awry and let's catch up. You know, it's like we gotta like knock
There's
out
not
some
relationship
things first.
Capital.
Yeah, or, exactly,
it was like
yeah.
the other pastor that you know we started going to their church, and then they just expected me to volunteer. It was like this particular person like bullied me a lot growing up and like caused me to like have anxiety going to school, and like you know, frankly. Like I had like cried to myself. Like I was, this was a person that was like a bully figure in my life for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And now they're a pastor. I'm in a recording with you. I cry at home and then I have to come in here and, you know,
suck it up.
Put on a brave face.
Yes, sir.
But then they're just like, oh, thanks for coming to the church. You want to volunteer? And I was like, what?
No.
Like, you want to address any of the, like, nightmare that you put me through for years
of
my life?
Well, and did he even, like, talk to you ever, like, really, really talk to you directly at the church before he even asked that? Like, it was, like, not even, like, because that would be different, too, if it was, like,
it was, like, we've known each other for, again, like, longer than 15 years. Like, my entire life, basically, we've known each other, at least known of each other, and then we're forced to interact for a period of time due to the nature of, like, our school and the college and everything. You were always mean to me. You, like, bullied me a lot, like, made fun of me. And then like the first text message you ever send to me is literally just like, hey, we need volunteers for Easter Sunday. You want to come volunteer? And I was like, what? Yeah. How could you be so out of touch? Like there's repairing needs to happen first. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm all for people changing and I hope that you have. I frankly, at the time didn't believe that he did. I just think he got a lot of opportunities, you know, handed to him. Like when it happened, it was just like, no, I don't want to volunteer to help for free on like, what?
Well, people rely on, haven't even addressed this. I think people rely on like, well, the mission's so important. They'll just set aside anything bad I do to them for the sake of that. You know? And it's like
you hope that person forgets, like you just like, and I think maybe for some people, like they genuinely don't realize how big of a dick they were. You know what I mean? Like they, for them being the bully, it's like, oh, that was how they were with everybody. So they don't realize like the individual impact that it made on people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it could be some indiscriminate. Of that as well. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It really was. And
is there a light at the bottom of your mug?
Yeah. It's Ember mug. It keeps their coffee warm.
Oh, I was like, his mug became self-aware mid conversation. Skynet. Anyway, Jacqueline.
Well, honestly, I can't think of a specific time that I was ghosted. I feel like I...
This is your quote. You brought this to the table.
Well, because, okay.
I thought you had a juicy one.
Let me get there. No, because honestly, I feel like... I mean, just kind of the person I am in life that we've kind of talked about that a lot, too. Is like, I don't tend to put myself in situations where I can feel a certain way. I just don't put myself in situations. So, yeah, I think that I have assumed that I've been ghosted by a lot of people. And I think that probably in a lot of the situations, I'm correct. But I will kind of like say like a positive side. So I think I talked about on a couple podcasts back, but I went to a funeral recently. So I went back to my home church that I grew up in. And so I think that a lot of those people I just assumed felt a certain way. And again, to like my credit or their credit or whatever, I'm sure some of them were like that and were just nice to my face, but I feel like I was pleasantly surprised by most of them, that it didn't feel that way, that it was like me coming back, even who I was today, was like they welcomed with open arms. And like one of them in particular was someone who was like a more of like a mentor figure in my life, and she even messaged me after and was like, we were talking about something a little bit, and then she like ended it by saying like, I love you, always have and always will. And like that just like stuck out to me. I was like, I really appreciated that again, like, I felt like I ended up writing off a lot of those people because I felt like I just assumed they had felt a certain way, and I don't think they actually all did. Again, I think some of them did for sure. I think like that's just like a known thing, but I feel like that on the flip side of just like being aware of that too, that I think that even when you do leave a situation like that, it's easy to just assume everyone a certain way. And I still think there's a lot of good people in those circles. So I think that it also is good to not look at them all a certain way. Again, I know that some of them do, but for me, I think that was just like a pleasant surprise for me that I think that I assumed it was a certain way, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Eric.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked ad nauseum, I think, about my background, but like, I think the biggest moment for me that I realized was like, there was a clear, definite split in like my Christian high school, where it's like my youth pastor went from being like a second dad to me to like acting like a stranger, like, oh, you're like one of the other, just another person here. Yeah. But even then, when I really realized it was when I came back to visit from like out of town, And I remember there was a moment where one of the youth pastors literally, like, I was walking down the hallway and he literally like hugged the wall, like, and didn't look at me and kept walking past me. And I was like, I had been there longer than he had been there.
Yeah. Right,
and it was like, and that's one of the weirdest things for me in that whole situation is like, I'm more of like, I feel like Harry, I feel like Norman Osborn. I started this company. Do you know how much I sacrificed? But like, but it was like, I've knocked every door in this town for this church. Yeah. I've been in this church forever. Everybody, like,
that's what makes it feel weird.
Yeah.
It feels like you're not welcome home.
And it's like, that's a weird thing where it's like, I don't want to necessarily, like, I understand that I'm different.
Yeah.
But also, like, it would be nice to come home.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of a weird vibe where it's like, I could just be like, hey, I don't want to go here anymore. But, like, when I come, I'd love to just be like, hey.
Yeah, good to see you,
man.
Yeah. Right.
Like, which, again, that's what I felt like I got, and I was pleasantly surprised by that.
Yeah.
This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's a new year, which means it's time to write a new chapter of your life. And if you're someone like me, maybe the last couple of chapters have been a little bit rough here and there. Maybe it's time to finally experience a new plot twist, or maybe there's a part of your story you've been wanting to revise. Well, it's not going to happen just because you made a resolution that's going to fade by February. It's about picking up the pen and becoming the author of your own life. And I want to encourage you to think of therapy as your editorial partner, helping you write new chapters and create the meaningful story you deserve to live. Starting therapy with BetterHelp did just that for me. I was going through some of the biggest transition periods and toughest moments since starting this podcast, and having a therapist to bounce ideas off of and get the tools I need to live a better, more fulfilled life was so incredibly invaluable. It's not about just getting their system and their philosophy that you plug yourself into. It's about having an open dialogue and finding out what steps are best for you in your specific journey. I know my specific journey is extremely busy, and so that's why it's helpful that BetterHelp is fully online. It makes therapy affordable and convenient, and they serve over 5 million people worldwide. And the best part is they have over 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties to choose from, and you can easily switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. The first therapist I sat down with was not a good fit for me and my needs, and I went in the next day and scheduled an appointment with a different therapist who ended up being an absolute game changer for me. You can start writing your own story today with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/preacherboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/preacherboys. Get 10% off your first month right now with BetterHelp. It's time to write your story.
At this point, I feel like it wouldn't be that way. I was having this conversation with somebody recently who like still goes there and stuff, and they were telling me about, and you can choose to bleep this name out if you'd like to, but how Jesse goes down there all the time and plays in the alumni game at the college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Why? Like, yeah. They're just continuing. He's like, he just shows up all the time and like nobody tells him no. He just like shows up. He's like, and it's really uncomfortable because a lot of people don't want him. It's just like, tell him no.
Yeah.
Right.
And I like said something to him that I was just like, that's what's so crazy to me for me.
Yeah.
Is that like somebody like that, who's like a convicted sex offender,
mm-hmm.
is more welcome on the campus because he still goes to church.
Right.
Than I would be just because I don't and I talk about it on a podcast.
Well, like, I think
that's wild to me. And it's my home church where I grew up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would be less welcome there than somebody who's a convicted sex offender. Like, it's backwards.
And I'll never understand that. Like, the lack of grace for people literally, because I've heard stories from people that literally got reamed for wearing a pink tie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like, the lack of grace there.
Gay?
But then it's like, then you get to like the most extreme stories and it's like,
we just need to show the grace.
You know,
it's like they literally just don't know how to deal with it when it's too extreme.
Yeah. It's a really weird experience where I'll say one more thing because this is relevant, but like, I remember after it was around the same time I had that experience, I literally felt like my relationship with both my youth pastor is so small. I might as well name these, but the youth pastor and then the guy who was like the assistant youth pastor, I literally took them both to like Wendy's on my internship money and was like, I just wanted to sit down and be like, I appreciate you guys. Like, we're all good. I want to make sure. And like, they were just dead silent, like the whole time. Yeah. And I was like,
that's annoying.
Okay. Yeah. This is super weird.
I'm glad we did this.
Yeah. Yeah. But that kind of takes me like the main takeaway, which is for me, when we think about all these stories, I look back now, like at the time, those experiences gutted me where it's like, oh my God, like these are people I looked at this way. These are people I thought I had a relationship with. Now I've kind of changed the perspective where like I'm kind of grateful I had all of those major explosions. I wish it could have been a little bit softer.
Yeah.
But I look back now and I'm like, I'm glad I knew then that this relationship was one-sided.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because I imagine like even now, like a decade, that's crazy, a decade later, 13 years later, like, it would hurt so much worse if it went till I was 30 or 40 or 50.
Yeah.
You know, but like,
because you would still be living in the meantime to please those people.
Right. Yeah.
Even and, though, you know, and, it's not how you should be living.
Or even worse, like assume that like it is how I'm supposed to be. And assuming that this is all to be taken at face value.
Yeah.
And they do truly love me the way I thought they did. Like, it's better. And for someone listening who's like, oh shit, I am 50 and I'm realizing now, it's like any time you find out is better than finding out the next day. Like, it's good to realize it is one sided. And, you know, again, I look back now and go like, oh, I'm grateful that it happened when I was like 16, 17 for the major, those major relationships, because it did feel like losing a dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, well, my dad was a deadbeat a little bit, you know, like it kind of softens the blow on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know you guys have some takeaways too. Jackie, you shared a little bit of yours already, but do you have any more context to that in terms of like that emotion and like your takeaways from that experience?
Being at the funeral, you're saying like that? I think it was just like, I think for me, it was a pleasant experience. Like I said, I think it still just made me genuinely feel like those. I mean, I think it's different for me too. And we talked about that a little bit because obviously Travis went to a church that was substantially bigger. So, I mean, that church that I went to, I mean, we had, my mom was like one of the main teachers in the school. So like listening to all of even like all of the kids there, like talk about my mom and like how she was back then and how much of an impact she had on them. And just again, just like remembering all the good sides of it, where like we had 30 kids K through 12. So it was a very, I mean, we were family and like that's ultimately what it was. And
I relate to that a lot where it's like, it's so small.
Yeah.
That it feels even, it's like going back for Christmas, literally.
Yeah. And being like, when I did, and I had so much anxiety going back. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. And I had so much anxiety going back. And then when I left, I just felt like, so thankful that I went. Cause again, if I wouldn't have put myself in that situation, which I almost didn't because of that, then I think I would have always had, I would have always created some like narrative in my head that really wasn't
that it was their fault.
Yeah, that it really wasn't the right narrative. And so I was very thankful that I went back in that sense, just because again, it just felt like I went home and I was so happy to see so many people and like I was embraced with hugs and just like so thankful for the impact they did have on my life. And again, for me, I'm very thankful. It was a really good experience. And even like in the pastor, I mean, he was like a second dad to me and he welcomed me with open arms. And you know, we'll just say that he said that I was one of his favorites. So, you know, we'll just throw that out there too. He did say that.
He told everybody. Were you shaking hands leaving? Hey, you're my favorite. Hey, you're my favorite.
That he was like, and just even him too, talking about the stories of like, I mean, they would come over when we were kids and like we'd all have like pool days together. And like, he was a second dad to me, you know, and like, those are some of my favorite childhood memories.
Yeah.
And still looking back on them, even he remembers those two, you know, and all those people, like they were my family, you know, and it still felt like that too, which was like a pleasant surprise for me. So for me, it was a very good experience. Yeah. And again, just more of a, I felt like it was made me more interflecting on myself of like, again, to stop, like, don't, interflecting, is that the right word? I was going to let you have it.
I was going to just let that be
introspective.
It made me very introspective
of myself, of that I have to be careful too, of that I am putting belief systems for other people like back to myself, that like that it was all a narrative in my own head.
Yeah.
So it just made me like very like aware of the fact of like, also don't, I was expecting them to judge me. So then I was just prejudging them. And so it was like very much for me of like, you can't do that either. And that wasn't fair.
You know what they say about assumptions?
I do.
It makes an ass out of you and me.
Oh, I do know that one.
Because that's how you spell assume.
Assume.
Yep. So that was my takeaway.
My biggest takeaway here, there was something in the quote that I wanted to challenge because there's something I don't completely agree with. So that was, let's see.
You got some beef, bro? Why didn't you say that earlier?
Yeah.
A little bit of beef. But you can see them. They aren't mourning you. They carry on like you were never there. So I feel like, you know, they carry on like you were never there. That's true. And that should happen. If you believe in your mission, you shouldn't just like stop because somebody left. But they aren't mourning you. I think that there's a lot of people that mourned all of us, in that sense. I think some people are pretend mourning because they just want to talk shit and judge people who they feel they're better than. But there are some people who are genuinely just, you know, really compassionate, loving, caring people. They like 100% believe that they have the absolute and ultimate truth in their hands. And it saddens them and crushes their heart to see people that they love or that they've watched grow up. Mm. Like leave those ideals or abandon those beliefs. I think that some people are mourning you in, but that doesn't mean that you're still not a ghost.
Yeah.
That's like the weirdest part for me whenever I go back to Lancaster and just like, sometimes I'll just like drive around the campus.
Which
and
is it, so it's, weird.
We did. It's, I love doing.
Oh yeah,
that.
We did that.
I did that. I do that at mine when I'm in town. Yeah. I drive around the church too.
I get this super
even Lancaster
weird,
when we drive through there. I stop at Lancaster.
Yeah, well, because you still have memories on that campus.
Yeah,
too.
It's a weird draw.
It's like this nostalgia feeling. It really does feel like being a ghost because it's like every square foot of that campus represents some sort of a memory for me.
Yeah.
Like from kinder, like this is where the elementary school was. This is where junior high is. This is where high school is. Here's the lock area. Here's where college is. Here's the dorms. Here's the North Auditorium, which where I started going before they built the main auditorium. Then I was there for the main auditorium opening. And then like every building that was built, we were involved in all the projects. And this one, it was
here's where
like,
I snuck a smooch from Jackie.
We never did that on campus.
No,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Aww. We were good.
Yeah.
What's the beef then, Lancaster?
We went off campus for that. but yeah, it definitely feels ghost-like because it feels like I belong there, but also it also feels like I'm looking at a version of myself from a completely different
life.
And
there's people there now, like where I grew up, I feel this way. And I know when we went to Lancaster together, you felt this way. It's like now you see so many people you don't recognize at all.
Yeah.
And,
they're walking around like they live there. And you're like, I was here once.
This is my home.
I used to be you.
Which we've talked about that. Like if you went, which is so different too. Cause if he went to church, like how many people would be like,
is this your first time? Cause like Lancaster it's a well-oiled machine there. Like they're very good at the, you know, making people feel welcome and getting you to come again and all that kind of stuff. And so I told her that like the weirdest thing is how many people would come up to me if we visited with like a visitor's card and be like, oh, is your first time here? Why don't you fill this out? Why don't you come over to guest services? We'll get you there. Like, it would just be so weird because 80% of those people I wouldn't know or recognize, especially due to the size of the church.
Yeah.
And then it would feel so weird to be like, oh no, I actually know where everything is, like the back of my hand, but thank you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it was one of those weird situations. But I say that to pull out because I think that especially I can, you know, I guess really all of us can look more at the negative sides rather than the positive sides, and go a little bit too far with this. And I think that you can start engaging into this, and maybe this is something we can talk about in a full episode. This you move beyond skepticism of people and move more into cynicism. And I think that if you're engaged in the religion of cynicism, it's just as bad as being engaged in like these other forms of religion, whether it's a political ideology or an actual religion or like anything that involves absolute truth. But cynicism to me is almost worse than all of them because it is the only one that requires absolutely zero courage.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're just cynical and you're just always talking shit about everything and nothing's real and only these things are real and it's all matter of fact and you can't, and like that guy's just a pseudoscientist and that person's just a cult expert and that person's just a grifter and that person is just like, well, who, like, you're only going to trust like professors at universities? Like, what are your criteria then? Like you can't just be like, oh, well, I left there. They're, you know, I'm
it's complicated.
Being ghosted and all of them, screw them forever. And like, nobody has my best interest at heart. And, you know, this person made me feel bad about how I dressed one time. So I hope they have a terrible life now. And it's like, whoa, 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 pump the brakes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there is, and almost for all things, there is a happy middle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything in moderation, including the blame game, including the disassociation from interpersonal relationships. Like all of those things need to be engaged with on an individual basis without this broad blankets, you know, like these broad terms that just encapsulate everybody with no real reason to do so.
Yeah. Well, you guys kind of said it earlier with, like some people really are mourning.
Yeah.
And when you were saying that, I was thinking like, there's really like, I think sometimes people leave the church and they lose all sense of like nuance, where it's like, first of all, everybody that leaves initially forgets that they were like that a year ago,
yeah,
or 10 years ago, or right. You know, like I look back at posts, which we should do for a future episode where we go back and look at like our posts from 10-15 years ago, but it's like I was just as hard-headed and closed-minded as them. But then I think when it comes to like seeing people that have ghosted us, it's like, are they the type that's mourning us because they believe they have something that's good for us and we left it? Because yeah. I have a lot more room for that conversation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or are they mourning that they lost control over us?
Yeah.
And I think those are the people you go like, I don't need that person I don't need to grab coffee with them.
You know, yeah, like, exactly. That's
so important. I think if people could reclaim that nuance, especially, I'm saying that to myself, especially someone like me that because of what I do, I focus on the bad so much.
Yeah.
It's like... Good. It's like I really now I'm at a point I cherish having conversations with people that disagree that are still kind and amazing. And like,
yeah.
Like the Christians that I have on my show that are like getting bashed by other Christians are like, those are the coolest people ever. You know,
that's why I really enjoyed talking to Erwin McManus on the show. It's like he's the pastor of a big church, but it's just he can still have a conversation with people he disagrees with without just shouting at them and being like, no, you're wrong.
Right.
Okay, last thing, and then we will take off. Red flag, green flag, church edition. Go ahead, Eric.
Red flag or green flag? Church has a private jet.
Red flag.
Yeah, that's going to be a red flag.
Yeah.
Green flag.
But it's like...
Just kidding. Red flag.
But it just makes it to where they can reach the world faster.
That clip, I just literally pulled a reel of that clip of... what's his face? What's that pastor? Don't you ever say that again. We're just like, you said flying is like being a tube of demons.
What?
Oh,
I don't know.
I'll show you that clip out.
Okay.
Hosts expensive church events. I feel kind of like in the middle.
Yeah, I would say, but if you, I mean, you don't know how much was donated, how much was like
someone. Yeah, I would
someone,
say green flag.
I don't think it's, yeah.
I don't think it's bad to put
so
on good events.
So ChatGPT gave this to me. Is it asking like, you have to pay a lot to go to a church event?
No, yeah.
If that's the case, that's a red flag.
Yeah,
I think.
But I feel like it depends how much. Like, are they profiting, or is it the cost of the event?
Yeah. Because
like some people,
yeah, there's
complain,
a lot of
they'd
nuance
be like,
there. Yeah.
It's a week of camping, and it's $400, and it's like, yeah.
Well, that's how much that costs.
You're renting a cabin.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's going to be expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
VIP seating in the church.
Red flag.
Oh, that's a red flag for sure.
Yeah. Lakewood has VIP seating.
Is that true?
Joel Osteen's. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's sort of like where like Oprah sits when she comes and all that stuff. It's,
yeah.
It's all reserved. And Hillsong did. They said that in the documentary. They had like the VIP seating. That was weird.
Yeah. God cares more about those people.
You see his comeback podcast, Carl Lentz?
No.
I didn't see the podcast. I saw that he
his
announced
teaser.
One.
It's his teaser for his life. He's like, I'm coming back. Anyway, the church has dress codes.
Red flag.
Yeah, that's probably a red flag.
Red flag.
Like a printed dress code for the church.
I get like
not for
no
school
shirt, no
or
shoes,
whatever.
No service kind of thing.
Yeah, if it's staff or school or whatever.
But like,
no, just for
when
church.
Churches have
do
like
church?
A printed, like, some churches do. Yeah. I've heard plenty of stories now where people have said their church had like a visitor t-shirt that was like oversized, where like if you're wearing a sleeveless shirt, they would give you like
oh,
a jacket
ridiculous.
Or a shirt.
No,
that's a red flag.
That's a huge red flag.
No. Oh, that's hilarious.
Mega that's church campus.
One. I think it's a red flag.
Mm, that's more of a red flag to me.
Really? Why? Because they're growing?
I don't think it's a blanket red flag.
Correct.
But most that I've seen, it's a red flag.
But I was going to say, but like, give me a good example of like one that's not super cringy, or there's not like a really
it's centered around
flamboyantly narcissist right. leader at the
cult of
top.
Personality. Like,
yes,
I need this to be my building.
Yes.
I think the healthier ones are the ones that like kind of split off. And
I agree. But to be fair, like the model was mega church for a long time and people just kind of followed what was available.
Yeah.
So
that was the way to measure success.
Blanket.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
High dollar church advertising. I feel kind of neutral on this.
Yeah,
I don't care about that.
It depends where the money's coming from, I guess. Cause like,
It still is a business at the end of the day.
Church, so, churches are still trying to reach people. Yeah. You got to be able to get your word out in front of people.
Yeah.
So. Political guest speakers, I'm going to say red flag.
That's definitely a red flag. Yeah, because like they preach separation of church and state all the time. And then,
and then
the next week they have, and what drives me crazy is that they create separate rules for what those people are allowed to say.
Yeah.
Like, if that person were a pastor, they would be like, we don't associate with them.
Yeah.
But they're a politician,
not our brand of Christian.
So they bring them onto the stage, even though they don't agree with our doctrine.
Even it's commentators, like Lancaster, I'll say this, but even Lancaster, like with Todd Starnes, like they're like so big on,
I don't know. That
he's a former Fox contributor.
Okay.
Like he got fired for a bunch of like weird conspiracy stuff. But anyway, but like Todd Starnes' version of Christianity when he talks about it is like, I think he even talked about in like one of the times he was doing a Q&A with Chapel. I could be putting my foot in my mouth, but somewhere he talks about it, he's like, I love listening to the music from like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you're not the same brand of Christian as them.
Right.
But
because
you're
you hold
platformed,
political power. Yeah.
You know, so like for me, that's
we'll make
a really
an exception
weird,
here.
Yeah. And I think it does it steps its toe into being kind of like spiritually manipulative when you're like, you're not telling people like, hey, vote for so-and-so, but also like for all intents and purposes, you're like, we need to get God's man for the job. Also today, guest speaker, Mike Pence.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a little weird. Church has an annual vision gala.
That's not a red flag.
Yeah,
that's
I don't think
flag.
It's a red flag.
You gotta tell the church where you're going. I think that's.
Yeah. Since it's still business. Yeah,
I'm fitty-fitty.
All right.
Fitty-fitty.
Why,
I don't know.
Why a red flag?
Again, it's one of those things, like, I don't think a blanket, it's bad, but most churches I've seen do it, it's like, they feel sketchy.
Hmm.
I don't know. But I don't know if it's sketchy because, or if it's sketchy.
But I would rather a church be operated properly and correctly and be moving and going
such
places.
A Lancaster brat. Do you see that?
Than
we need the leadership. We need a vision.
Dozens,
where there's no vision, the people perish.
Than the dozens of churches that I visited across the country that are just cesspools of dead,
okay,
like pastor's family,
that
membership,
pastor's family,
like
yeah,
the church is dead. They're the only people
it's
in the service.
Church.
Yeah, it's just like, why are you guys even have a church? You can just meet at your house.
I will say that this is one of the things. Like as a business, it doesn't bother me because I think churches are essentially self-help groups.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the reasons though I don't like the concept of church because it is supposed to be this supernatural Holy Spirit led thing.
Yeah.
And so like when they get super pragmatic and they have like the visitor follow-up procedure and the vision galas and here's our vision for the year and blah, blah, blah. To me, it's like, you shouldn't even need all those things if you have such a clear connection to what God wants you to do.
Well, that's why it's so obvious that's not the case.
So.
Yeah. Cause people will come to Lancaster all the time and be like, God just has his hand on Paul.
It's like,
Chapel.
No, he has an amazing
like,
CEO.
No, it's because like while you were sitting there like pondering what you should preach about on Sunday, he was out knocking 500 doors a week for years by himself and then trained other people how to like that. It's so goofy to be like, God's hand is just here. It's like, no, like you can like look at the systems and ops that they've built here. Look at like the salesmen that they have. Look at how the army of people that they have reaching the community every single weekend for free. Like it's because they actually take activity to grow the thing that they're working on rather than like what most pastors do is just like sitting there thinking about what they're going to talk about on Sunday.
Yeah, that's fair.
Pastor is a millionaire.
It tags onto what he just said. I don't think that's a red flag.
Yeah, I don't think that's a red flag.
This is my most unpopular opinion. I don't think wealthy pastors is a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think the my only caveat is, I think like, if it depends where the money comes from.
Oh, absolutely.
I think if the church, like, I think of our church growing up, it's like, if an area where most people aren't making a lot of money and they're tithing a ton of money and you're just collecting a huge paycheck.
That's different.
But pastors, that's what I was going to say. Like if Paul it's a Chappell, misappropriation of funds, that's different than being paid well to do a good
people
job.
People said about John MacArthur, Paul Chappell, I'm like, they've released several books.
Right.
They have a college bookstore. Like, again, we can debate whether or not they should have all those things.
Sure. That's a different
But it's like if the money's coming from book royalties, like, great.
Or like they were just smart with their money and they invested it properly. And like he should have a big salary.
Yeah.
Like he's running an 8,000 member church.
Now, should he?
A 900 person college. Like, you know, like, and he didn't just take it over.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a difference.
He took
too,
over
I
the
agree,
church when there was 12 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12 people into 8,000 in a city like Lancaster is like, you deserve to get paid well for the efforts that you've put into this place. Because nobody else would be able to run it the way that you've done it.
Yeah. People shut us up. Like someone shared the other day, they're like, this pastor makes six figures. I was like,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So he makes
California,
a living wage. Yeah.
He's poverty level. He probably gets Medi-Cal. all the staff are related to the pastor.
Red flag.
And then last one, single youth pastor.
This one I go back and forth on because I just remember you saying this and it always sticks out in my head because I think now having kids, I would say red flag. But when we were like coming out of college, I don't think it's a red flag in the sense that like you're really going to just like make this person be married to not hold this title. So I'm like, I don't know. Yes. I kind of feel like both. Yes. Okay.
Well, like that's their opinion.
Yeah.
That was what they would tell us in college is like, that's why they want you to get married because you can't go serve in ministry being a single guy forever, especially if you're going to be youth pastor or an assistant pastor or something. Yeah. They're like, it's just the optics are bad. Like,
I think
you
need
to have a wife.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I also think even if you're 23 and married, you're still not in a position.
It's not really about the marriage. It's about the fact that you're going to put this.
Well, clearly everything that you cover, it doesn't matter if they're married or not married. So.
Sure. Well, you're going to put this 23-year-old in charge of people is like wild.
I should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm 29.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway.
Should also, in my opinion, have to have like real life experience. Like if you just grew up in a bubble and then you went to a bubble college then graduated that bubble college and went directly back into the bubble.
Or have never had a teenage son or daughter.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like you don't have any experience about anything.
Yeah.
You don't have any formal training.
Most of them do.
You took intro to biblical counseling like for a semester and got a C. You know what I mean? It's like, what? And you're going to counsel this like 48-year-old married couple on like raising their teenage son? Like what are you talking about, man? That's not how it works.
Yeah, there is something to be said about being like wiser and older before you're leading in that way.
Absolutely.
But anyway, well,
good episode, guys.
Yeah.
Well, if you're listening to this, what's an experience you've had where you were ghosted or even still, like what's a time you thought you were ghosted, but it was just you misunderstanding?
Yeah.
Drop that in the comments below. Thank you.
We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.
We should have started with that.
That's definitely what we should have started with, yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Figuring It Out podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. For more information about the show, visit www.figuringitout.tv. Or connect with us anywhere on social media with the handle figuringitout.tv.